Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Nice to have you back with us again, everybody. I am Doug Llewellyn, and hey, it's Tuesday. It's 12 noon Eastern time, so it's time to welcome back one of our favorite guests who's in the midst of a series of broadcasts with us. Her name is Dr. Victoria Monlock. If you've ever heard her, you know she is truly a rare physician. Over 35 years experience practicing medicine, and she specializes in helping women, and she increasingly focuses on the hormone connection underlying women's health issues. She talks about it a lot with us, and these issues range from puberty to adolescent health, infertility, abnormal bleeding, women's cancer, things like osteoporosis, menopause, and cancer. She is hugely knowledgeable about this, and she has been specializing in women's health, family medicine, and preventative health and wellness, as I pointed out, for over 35 years. And what's unique about Dr. Monlock is she helps patients become partners in their own health care. By the way, she has written two books. We've talked about them with her on previous broadcasts. They're remarkable books. One of them is called Full Bloom, which is it's all about health and happiness through hormone balancing. And that's one of the things Dr. Monlock talks with us a lot about. And it's something that your normal doctor does not know that much about and doesn't do. And it's a shame. But this is a book that will give you a clue as to why hormone balancing is so important. And her other book is called Blossoming, Becoming a Woman. It is a mother-daughter guide by Dr. Monlock. It's a guide that every mom should have to help with her teenage daughter as she's becoming a teenager and becoming a woman. It's a guide on how to help that young lady. It's a remarkable book, and there aren't many books like that out there on the market. So anyway, it's a delight to welcome Dr. Monlock back with us. She practices in Waukesha, Wisconsin. It's a lovely day there today, which is good. And we're going to be talking about postpartum depression signs. This is something else that affects a lot of women all across the country and around the world, really, for that matter. So, Dr. Monlock, welcome back. You go by Dr. Vicky. Everybody calls you Dr. Vicky, so I'm going to do it today. Dr. Vicky, how are you? Welcome.
I'm great. Thanks, Doug.
I know that we're doing this series of broadcasts with you, and we have a subject set out each broadcast. Today it's postpartum depression signs, symptoms, and treatment. Obviously, this is something I don't know a whole lot about, but I have learned that postpartum depression occurs in about 3 million women every year. I'm not quite sure how they come up with these statistics, but in any event, it is a big number. So talk to me a little bit about it. What is the importance of recognizing and treating postpartum depression? And describe it. I don't even know what it's like. What is it? How do you describe it?
Well, you know, first break it apart and say postpartum. Well, what timing is really considered postpartum? And it's considered by medicine the 6 weeks after giving birth, which is basically the time that it takes for a fully pregnant uterus to contract back down, for the ovaries to figure out, hey, we're not pregnant anymore. We can go back to like normal cycling. Oh, yeah, we can. Yeah, okay, let's do that. And so it's kind of that regrouping time, so to speak, that a woman's body goes through and realize that, and most people never think about this, but realize that from the pregnancy journey itself, a mom goes through normal cycling, gets pregnant, so her hormone levels, female-wise, estradiol, progesterone, go very, very high in order to maintain a healthy pregnancy, especially progesterone, which is hugely important to prevent miscarriage, like we talked about last week, and hugely right. important for placental function and to prevent preterm labor. But now you end your pregnancy, you deliver that baby, and all of the hullabaloo about, oh, isn't that baby darling and cute, all of that goes away. You've gotten your gifts at the hospital. Now you're home with this baby who may sleep, may not know what the word sleep even means, and you're trying to put your life back together while you're also caring for a newborn. You may have other kids at home, and all of a sudden, all of your help is gone. Everybody that was there bringing you a dish before because you were so close to being in labor, and oh my gosh, all of that attention is gone, and you're suddenly left home alone. Sounds like a movie, I know, right?
Right.
You're left home alone with this newborn and others, and you don't have any resources because you can't leave and just run out quick or put the baby quick in a car seat and run out. You're still recovering physically, whether you had a vaginal delivery, whether you had a C-section, and you're just not at your best, and you want to live in your pajamas all day, but even your pajamas may not fit. Because you were wearing postpartum pajamas or, you know, pregnancy pajamas, and now even your sweats are too tight, but the pregnancy stuff is too loose, and you feel like you're just in between, and nothing fits. So I'm going to wear my husband's sweatpants and sweatshirt. Well, that makes you feel really feminine and sexy,
oh, yeah,
right?
That's great. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Right? So, yeah, so women have this transitional time where they don't know what hour of the day it is. They don't know what day of the week it is. They just know that they're on a feeding schedule. And if they're breastfeeding, they may be feeding every 3 to 4 hours. They may be feeding through the night. Are they sleeping? Probably when the baby sleeps, which means if you've got others at home, you've got little ones prying your eyes open going, Mommy, I need a peanut butter sandwich, you know. So, in other words, it's this very difficult, I mean, we're laughing about it, but it's this really difficult time. I specifically remember having my second daughter and being not only sick, I was recovering from a bowel resection the day after I vaginally delivered my second daughter, but I had a three-year-old at home, too. So now I was a bowel resection, which is a major surgical procedure, and a three-year-old, and a newborn. And I remember being in my pajamas at noon going, you know what, there is something really wrong with this picture. I'm a surgeon. I'm a doctor. And it's noon. I'm in my flipping pajamas. Wait a minute, you know. So you go through all of this self-doubt, self-worth discussion with yourself, because nobody else is there to listen to you, and you wonder why you just did this lunacy of having this baby until the baby might start sleeping through the night and your husband might start helping or your mother-in-law or your mom comes over to give you a hand 1 or 2 days a week, or you get back to work and you realize, I can have an adult conversation with another adult. Isn't this amazing? You know? So,
it is amazing.
So it is. And so postpartum can be this wonderfully marvelous time. It can be a very challenging time. And for some women, it can be this hormone drop off of a cliff that you just went from top of the world hormones, pregnant, to holy smokes, you're below scraping the bottom of the barrel. And I can say this because I check these hormone levels in my patients. And I don't want to give you, you know, the impression that every woman has a very difficult time, but there are those women who actually become almost catatonic and unresponsive because their hormone levels drop out of sight. And I remember specifically two patients, sisters, that one patient came in and she said, my sister just had her baby 2 weeks ago, and she went into this sudden and significant funk, I'm going to call it, and had to be hospitalized because she wouldn't speak, she wouldn't eat, she wouldn't talk, and her baby still needed to be cared for, and her husband didn't know what to do. So our mom is a pharmacist, and she called the woman's OB-GYN, and they put her in a psych hospital. I'm going to deliver in a week, and I don't want that to happen to me. We're identical twins. So I checked her levels beforehand. Okay, here's where we are. Let me see you 7 to 10 days post, and we'll get her levels postpartum, right? Doesn't that sound like a great plan?
Right. Exactly.
Well, I got her levels done. Yeah, on day 7. I called her on day 9 because that's when I had those levels back. Guess what?
What?
She already had been put in a psych hospital because she already had followed her twin sister's example.
Wow.
And her numbers went from, no lie, you ready? An estradiol level of 125th percentile, so like 350, down to a level of 17.
Good
17.
Lord. Wow.
And no wonder she couldn't function or think or whatever with all of the stressors of a newborn baby and having the bottom of your femininity just drop out from underneath you. We know from menopausal women that you can have short-term memory loss and forgetfulness and insomnia and every organ system betray you, but to have it suddenly happen to you within a week of delivering the most wonderful thing in your universe, your own child, that can be absolutely devastating. And this poor woman followed in her twin sister's footsteps. I couldn't even reach her to tell her the numbers. I had to go through her husband, who didn't want to defy his mother-in-law by saying she needs hormone, because his mother-in-law pharmacist said, no, she needs psych meds. And I just about cried. I thought, oh, my God, do we need to get this message out or what? Imagine.
So what happened? What happened?
Literally, her hormone levels tanked. She tanked her estradiol levels suddenly. You go from top of the world, and 7 days later, 9 days later, your levels are dirt, and your brain can't function. Your body doesn't know how to handle that. And so first your brain goes, oh, we can't compute this. Then your bladder, which is already trying to recover from being pushed upon for 9 months being pregnant, it's leaking all over the place. You're still bleeding because you're postpartum. But literally, your estradiol level does not give your brain the blood supply per square inch that it needs. And if you plummet that hormone level down, you could get in a car and not know where you were going.
Really?
You would act psychotic.
What I meant is, you pointed out, she ended up in a psych hospital just days after giving birth. When I said what happened, I was wondering, what happened to her? How long did she stay there? Or did they get her hormones back?
She was in a psych hospital for 4 weeks.
You're kidding. My God.
4 weeks. Now, could you imagine having a newborn and not being able to even enjoy your newborn for 4 weeks? And to boot, she got drugged up on 3 different antipsychotic psych meds, which she couldn't breastfeed with being on these meds. So she had to pump and dump. And then her mother-in-law knew if she came back into my office that I was going to talk to her about hormone. So she told her husband, don't you dare let her go back to see Dr. Menlock.
Really?
Really? Now, that to me is the height of Western medicine's hypocrisy on wellness. If I have the scientific evidence that proves that she went from on top of the world estradiol to bottom of the barrel, and I can prove that her blood supply per square inch tanked with all of my worksheet before and after of her symptoms, then why suddenly was this perfectly normal, functional woman suddenly psychotic a week after she delivers, when I can demonstrate the evidence? And instead, what this woman is being told and what the rest of the Western world truly, truly believes is that this is a psychotic break? Well, wait a minute. Where did she go from perfectly normal, healthy to psychotic break? What changed? Hormone levels changed. But, oh, no, 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 we can't talk about hormone. That's, no, 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 it can't be something that simple. It's got to be that we have to medicate her with psych medicines. There must have been some trauma in her childhood. Oh, my God, there must be something awful that we can psychoanalyze here. It's like, wait a minute, are you kidding me? Look at what is staring you right in the face. Hormone levels that suddenly dropped out of sight. Why does it take an act of stupidity of putting people on psych meds? Where is the evidence that says that this is a psychotic break? Where is it? There isn't any. It's your observation. I'm presenting scientific evidence of blood values that had this horrendous swing. Oh, but no, 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 that doesn't mean anything. No, 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 because we don't look at hormone levels. Well, my answer to that is, why not? Why doesn't medicine look at hormone levels? This is my soapbox, my mantra. This is what I show women over and over, whether it's postpartum, whether it's puberty, whether it's menopause, whether it's perimenopause and swings. It's really not that hard. It's following the science. We all want to be scientific. We want to point to before and after, root cause. And if root cause is hormone, why are we so afraid to hear that answer? It's crazy.
Well, let me ask you, do you think had you treated her with hormone therapy, and I don't know what you do in hormone therapy, quite frankly, that would have straightened her out, so to speak, relatively soon, do you think?
Absolutely, because how many, what percent of women, and it's less than 0.1%, I'll just give you the answer, end up going psychotic after a delivery? They don't. Most women will again start resuming their periods within 3 to 6 months. Now, that's a crazy thought. You're not going to resume your periods unless you're making hormone. Huh. Right. So if you're making hormone and you're breastfeeding until that baby is a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years, then why is putting hormone back into a woman, why is that contraindicated? Because she's breastfeeding. If she's going to make it herself, and I can demonstrate that by drawing their levels, then why do we deprive women whose body is not going to make it for themselves? Why do we call that unnatural? It blows my mind. Why what's good for Sally Jane over here to my left is the worst idea in the world and something that's horrible for Missy, who's on my right, who just happens to have the genetics that don't let her make hormone fast enough once she delivers. It's a very misunderstood part of health, but so is women's health in general, because we consider it taboo to actually check women's hormone levels. And it's the most scientific thing we can do. It's
May I ask you a question?
Kind of a disconnect.
How do you balance hormones? I mean, what do you do to treat a lady like the one you were describing, whose hormone levels had dropped so, dangerously low? Are they pills you take? Is it shots you take? What do you do to help increase and balance someone's hormone level?
Well, what I try to do is at least bring them up to what I would call menopausal levels. And menopausal levels that allow women to maintain brain function and sleep through the night are going to be an estradiol level of 30 to 50, not 17, and a progesterone level of 1 to 4, not 0, which is what this woman's progesterone level was. So it doesn't take a lot, and it can be this bioidentical pill that is actually covered by most women's insurance. So it isn't something strange or unusual that medicine has never heard of. It is simply bioidentical hormone put back into a body, the estradiol that an ovary usually makes, or the progesterone that in a pregnant woman the placenta made, but otherwise an ovary will make when a woman ovulates. So what is wrong with putting in a replacement amount of hormone to keep symptoms at bay, but not have it be anything that is unusual for a postpartum woman to have, which is female hormone in her body?
So it's treatment with pills can do that, as you pointed out.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
So, yeah, all right. Interesting. Very interesting. It's a fascinating subject, and apparently this is something that many women, maybe not, you know, certainly not a majority, but many women occasionally have this kind of reaction. Many women go into depression. They have chronic anxiety. That's true as well, right?
Correct. Anxiety and depression are a continuum. So you may be having depression, you know, at the beginning of a cycle, as the beginning of a postpartum, but then that may actually morph along its natural channels into a mix of anxiety, depression, and then it may actually become anxiety. Or it could just stay as depression, but realize low progesterone is also very much a depression and anxiety kind of symptom, raising progesterone levels and balancing hormones is actually one of the major treatments that I employ in women in getting rid of and treating not only PMS, but depression, regular good old-fashioned depression. You know that many women are placed on medication. They're called depressed when nobody's ever checked their hormone levels. And I get many women off of antidepressants, A, because they aren't working for the patient. They're getting different and more antidepressants added to the one that, quote, isn't working. And by putting them on and managing their hormone levels, especially their progesterone, I successfully get them off most of their depression medication because it isn't real depression in the first place for many women. It's hormone imbalance.
You know, I have to ask you, is this the kind of thing that is covered in your book, Full Bloom, which covers...
Absolutely, yes.
It is.
Yes, and also covered because of the PMS connection in blossoming, because remember, the adolescent goes through the same swings that her mom or her aunts or her grandmother went through when they were in their 40s. So those older women understand those swings. An adolescent has never been through them, so she's learning about them for the first time. So moms and aunts and granddaughters, or grandmothers and granddaughters, the adolescent, all need this education on hormone balancing.
So the book is written for normal moms to be able to read and understand. This is not a medical kind of textbook,
right?
It is
never. Doctors think they understand, even though they're not taught this in medical school. Do you know that hormone balancing isn't even discussed in medical school, which is criminal in my mind?
Yeah, you've said that before. It's hard to understand.
Right.
Why not? Which is why doctors, your normal doctor doesn't test hormones. He doesn't know about it. Really is what it is.
But that,
correct?
Right. But that doesn't mean that a normal doctor can't teach themselves and
True.
Learn how to do it, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to actually check levels and then know that I've already done that research, that work. I've published in my books those graphs of what hormone levels should be at different ages and stages for women. And when the men's book comes out, I'll have it in the men's book for men as to what the testosterone curve is. It's not rocket science. It's simply knowing to check those levels if you recognize patients are having symptoms. And in this case of a postpartum depression, it stares you down in the face. Wow, this woman was just this wonderful, happy, pregnant mom, and now all of a sudden she's, you know, catatonic in a corner and she can't function. You know, something happened. Well, she delivered a baby. Well, duh, what else happened? Her hormones dropped out of sight. Why can't medicine recognize this? They don't.
How do you check hormone levels? What
blood work?
What's the procedure?
Super simple. Super simple. All it takes is an arm, a tourniquet, and a butterfly needle with some tubes to draw the levels. Every lab will run them. Every insurance company will pay for it. And the estradiol and progesterone replacement is covered by your insurance, and every pharmacy, including Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, whatever your flavor of pharmacy is, carries it at their pharmacy.
Wow. So is this obviously, you know, can a woman do this herself? You really need a doctor.
No,
to do
because
that.
It does take a prescription. And
right. Okay.
There are people that will say, oh, I can do a low-dose progesterone cream made from yams. Well, you can, but it isn't going to register a change. It just isn't going to. So you need somebody medical following your levels to make certain you don't underdo it, but that you don't overdo it either.
Well, you know, this is such a fascinating subject, and you talk about hormones a lot. And obviously, you know, the book you have done for the mother-daughter guide, this is another – these hormones play a key role in that too, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, we dismiss our adolescent daughters because they've never experienced hormone swings. And
yeah.
We call them drama queens because they don't know as adolescents how to deal with it. We send
right.
them to their room. You know, that, well, that's the best place to consult Dr. Google, you know, and their best
Dr.
friends,
Google.
Who, of course, are the experts in the world.
I love Dr. Google. Okay. You're too much, doctor, I must tell you. It's amazing talking to you. These books, by the way, which we've been talking about, and, you know, you've written and talked about these a lot. But Full Bloom, they're both available at your website, and I assume they're available on Amazon and many of them at bookstores as well. Are they still in bookstores?
They're certainly on Amazon. I don't know
yeah.
if we've gotten enough call to – I'd love to have enough call to have it at a Barnes & Noble or at a regular store, but I believe that they're still available either on my website, rhm.care/VJMondlockMD, or on Amazon.
Okay. Let me repeat the website for Dr. Mondlock, everybody, if you didn't write it down and you're interested in this. It's a great website, a lot of information there. It's rhm.care and then /VJMondlock, M-D. That's Dr. Mondlock's name. It's spelled M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H. Okay? Well, listen, Dr. Mondlock, this has been great. You'll be back again next Tuesday, and we have another fascinating subject we're going to discuss with you, and we'll wait and tell everybody what it's going to be when you come, okay? Or I could let them know right
All
now.
All right. Have a,
talking about
have a great
uterine
Thanksgiving.
And ovarian diseases, which is an amazing subject. I love talking to you, Dr. Mondlock. We look forward to having you back. Thank you so much. All righty?
You're welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you, my dear. Appreciate it.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Take care. Bye for now.